Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Grecian's Gossip, joined by David Byram.
Hello.
And Jamie Hawkins.
Hello.
A few bits to cover today. I thought we'd start off with the look back at the Heybridge Swifts game quickly. David, you were covering the match,
yeah.
Am I right in saying? 3-1 scoreline, but not overly convincing from what I've been hearing.
They got the job done at the end of the day, but they weren't the most fluent of, wasn't the most fluent of performances. It took a while for the first goal to come. As soon as the first goal did come, I thought, you know, that should be pretty comfortable now, and they got the second shortly afterwards. But then Heybridge found a way back into the game, and it wasn't for an awful keeping mistake. They, you know, they could have put some pressure on late on. So I think it was job done more than anything for City. I'm not sure anyone will look back on it and as a, you know, a classic performance or anything like that, but at the same time, this time last week we were sat here saying it's a no-win situation for City to be in. You know, if they win convincingly, it's what they were expected to do. If they lose, it's a disaster. So I think at the end of the day, that all they could do is win the game, and that's what they've done.
Was it a case of some nerves at all, do you think, against low league opposition, or do Heybridge just deserve some credit for playing well? Or?
I thought Heybridge played quite well. I don't think Heybridge were particularly great, to be honest. But you know, they are an on-league side, and you have to give them credit for the way they sort of defend against City. I think it was just, it wasn't really nerves. It was just almost, a lot of the time they just seem to overthink it. You know, they had a lot of time and space, and you know, they perhaps play the wrong pass or perhaps delay playing a pass, and it would end up going wrong. Conditions weren't great again, but you know, you can't keep blaming the conditions and for a poor performance, really.
Jamie, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, as Dave said, I think in the first round it's all about just getting through, getting the result no matter what. It's always a danger coming up against a non-league side, especially Heybridge, who I think were the lowest ranked side left in the competition at the time. So there's always that huge potential upset and banana skin. But yeah, like I said, it was all about just getting the result. You know, the performance really wasn't great, which is worrying, as it was virtually a full-strength City side. You know, there was a huge sense of relief when that first goal went in. And then from then, it was fairly comfortable going 2-0. Okay, they brought one back, but, you know, they didn't look a threat at all, really, to be honest. But, you know, it was just worrying, really, that we struggled. Well, it was 3-1 in the end, fairly comfortable, but a fairly flat performance, you know, in a great competition, in a game which I think everyone, myself, was expecting, seeing that team to, you know, to wipe the floor with them, and ended up being, you know, an unconvincing win. So it's great to obviously be in the hat and be in the next round, but, you know, I think it's got to be looked at performance-wise for me.
Sure. And in the bigger picture as well, I mean, some stuttering league form and then not necessarily convincing win in the cup. Where do you think City are at the moment?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, because I've been recently, I went to Mansfield the week before, and it was not a great performance again, but managed to scrape a draw. And then before that, there was that pretty horrendous home loss to Port Vale, which was one of the worst City performances I've seen for quite some time at home. So I think, you know, it's a difficult one, because I think the main topic, I think, is the strike force of Ruben Reid and Jayden Stockley, which I think is pretty evident over the last few weeks. It just really isn't working. You know, Reid's really dried up his goals, and it's gone quite a long time now, quite a few weeks, and you know, it's just not working, and something needs to give, I think. You know, needs to make a change or two up there. I think the tactics have changed, resulting to perhaps slightly more direct now in recent weeks. You know, so it always seems quite negative, really, how different it was at the start of the season, winning, you know, top of the league, unbeaten, winning every game at home 1-0, and you know, it hasn't gone completely flat because they're still in a great position in the league, of course. But yeah, I think the fans are perhaps getting a little agitated and frustrated at the performances.
David, yeah, I mean, Stockley and Reid, we've been here before, haven't we? We've discussed this exact thing in this very room. Do you agree that they're not sort of performing as they should be together, and do they have a future together?
I think it just seems to lack fluency at the moment, to be honest. That's sort of the main issue. We have seen that they can play together. You know, they played well against Morecambe together. First half of Luton, they were both sort of unstoppable together. But it just doesn't seem to be happening enough at the moment. I think part of that is down to the service. You know, there's only so many times City can hit the ball onto Jaden Stockley and he can win a header, and it'll, you know, most of the time it won't go anywhere near Ruben Reid, and that's because they're playing too far apart, but at the same time it's too obvious that the balls are being played long, and the opposition defence can sort of nullify that in a way. I think they do have a future together, but for the time being I think, you know, it's time to perhaps take the pressure off Reid a bit. He's not scored in 10 games, and his touch, that was the thing that surprised me on Sunday. His touch was nowhere near as good as it used to be. The ball was, there was one time in the first 10 minutes where Stockley nodded the ball down to Reid, brilliant opening, threw on goal, and his first touch was just so heavy, the ball rolled past the post. So, you know, that was a concerning thing, and I think he could just do with a bit of a break. And we have seen how good he can be off the bench, you know, as an impact sub, and I think he's too good to play that role on a permanent basis, but it could be time to, you know, if City do have to chase a game, just send Ruben Reid on and put them under a bit more pressure later on.
How would you see Tiz changing it around?
I think he'll stick to 4-4-2. It seems to be the in vogue formation at the moment, and perhaps just swap Liam McAlinden for Ruben Reid, because
straight swap,
yeah, because you know, Reid and McAlinden played well up front at the start of the season, but at the same time Stockley's the one getting the goals at the moment. So why not try him and McAlinden up front? Because at the moment, Reid and Stockley seem a little too similar and a little bit disjointed up front together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Jamie, you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think there'd be much harm in that. I think, you know, we saw towards the end of last season when Reid was pretty much coming off the bench near enough every game, and, you know, he scored a few goals as well. He became pretty much a super sub in a way. So, you know, to have a player of his calibre and quality on the bench is still, you know, great to bring off at any game, you know, any point in the game. And, you know, McAlinden, I really feel sorry for him, actually, because he's done really well this season. Perhaps his stats might not agree in terms of goals, but, you know, he formed such a great partnership with Reid at the start of the season, providing those goals for Ruben. But, you know, we saw when he came off on Saturday, runs and runs, like almost he had a point to prove, perhaps, you know, frustrated at being left on the bench quite often, which is understandably so in playing for the under 23s. But, you know, he's a hard worker, he runs his socks off, and in a way that's something that City perhaps lack recently. As Dave said on Saturday, there's no real urgency in the team. They seem too relaxed and laid back. Perhaps it's because it was against the non-league side, but I think you need someone like McAlinden or Holmes or Edwards, who incidentally were all the subs that came on Saturday, to run at defences, to have a go. Because, you know, on Sunday, when Moxie was coming forward and Taylor, the big bang were urging them to run on and take players on, but it's like they were too scared and hesitant. So, whereas McAlinden, you know, he'll give it a go, and, you know, he's certainly a player that I rate highly, and I don't see why he shouldn't be starting at the moment.
Okay, well, interesting times. I guess the upshot of the weekend performance is ultimately that City are in the next round, as we said. Forest Green Rovers, their next opponents. David, you think they'll be hoping to make it through that one?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure you can really say expecting it. It's about, what, 3 weeks away, the game, and I think we really need to see how City play in the next three games or four games, or however long it is, before we get an idea of, you know, whether they can expect to go through. But I think they've definitely, you know, having beaten them earlier in the season already and beaten them quite comfortably, I think, you know, it's definitely a tie they should be thinking, we've got no worries about winning this.
Jamie, confident?
Yeah, I mean, I was there earlier this season when we won 3-1 and Forest Green were pretty poor, to be honest. All the goals kind of came from mistakes, but City were very, very comfortable. Although I think it's changed in recent weeks. I think they've picked up form a bit, so expect a tougher game. But when you look at the draw of the teams that we could have played, it was probably a tie that most City fans would have wanted.
What was the food like in the press box? Was it as good as
it was? Excellent, was it? It was really, really good. It was nice mac and cheese. Very good.
There you go. David, you caught up with Jake Taylor, didn't you? I think I'm right in saying. So let's listen to what he had to say about things.
Yeah, I think the main thing was the result, and getting through to the next round was what we wanted to do before the game. We've done that. Obviously, it was never going to be easy. They were always going to be really up for it. They've had a good season so far, a great cup run. So it was nice for us to get there eventually, but they did make it hard for us, so fair play to them.
Yeah, you have to show plenty of patience, didn't you, and just keep on trying working those opportunities.
Yeah, I think, it's never going to be an easy game, especially when, they're playing for so much and we had to be patient and thankfully the goals came, through set pieces, which are vitally important in the game as well. So, yeah, it was nice to get through to the next round, but they didn't make it easy for us, so...
Yeah. Jaden gives you the lead with just running at the near post and getting ahead of the ball, doesn't he? A good finish.
Yeah, that's what Jaden brings to the team. He's a very good finisher, obviously very good in the air, and our set pieces this year have been very good, so it was a good time to get the lead. It's 0-0, the more they have to play for, which brings their spirits up, but I thought we were very professional today and we got the job done.
You've got to give Heybridge a fair bit of credit because you go 2-0 up and they just kept battling, didn't they, and find a way back into the game at 2-1.
Yeah, I think they were very lively first half. They had a few chances. And then obviously going 2-0 down is hard for them. But then to come back and to score a goal against the run of play sort of thing was disappointing for us. But obviously it shows that they're doing very well this season. So as long as we continue to keep working hard, I think the next goal is always coming for us.
Must be pleasing to be in a second round draw. Any thoughts on who you'd like? I suppose a home tie?
Yeah, I think anyone at home, to be honest. It's a good competition to be in. The further you go on in the round, the big teams come in and it sort of gets a bit more exciting for the fans and stuff like that. But it was really important for us to get through to the next round and we did that today.
Thank you, Jake.
All right.
Yeah, cheers. Jake Grimsby next. So if you get back to league action, are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Obviously, having a week off without the league football is a bit different, but yeah, we're really looking forward to it. They're doing all right so far this season, and it's important we get back on track with a win. So.
And I guess that is key at the moment after going a few games without a win to try and get those 3 points and get back into the top three.
Yeah, definitely. I think we started the season really well. We've had a couple of iffy results, but it shows the great character we've got in the team after Mansfield as well. Coming back to get something out of the game was really good. So our home form's been quite good. So as long as we can continue that, then I think we'll get a good result on the weekend.
And the second goal today, you claim that as a die?
Yeah, well, Jaden was behind me, called Jax, and then I left it for him. Exactly.
Right, that was Jake Taylor there talking about things coming up. Grimsby at home this weekend, so back to league action. David, how do you think this one will go?
I think it'll be a low-scoring game. Grimsby don't score many, but they don't concede many either. And City have hardly, been free-scoring in recent weeks. So I think it's going to be a tight game, but I can see City coming out on top. I think they've got enough in their tank. They might not have won in 4 league games, but you look at some of those games, and apart from Port Vale, they are all difficult games on paper. So I think this is, a real, really good opportunity to get back to winning ways.
How much do they need a win, do you think?
I don't think it's a must win, but I think it'd be, quite good to get a win just to sort of calm any fears that, are there after going 4 games without a win. I think I can see a few fans perhaps overreacting after the game if they don't win or if they lose and pressing a panic button, but I think it's far too early to do anything like that.
Mm. Jamie, are you confident heading into this one?
Yeah, Dave said, I'm not expecting a top quality, advert for League Two football match. Russell Slade come up against this side numerous times. He doesn't really play attractive football, but he's one of those who just tries to get the job done. So it's going to be a difficult difficult game. They might be hard to break down. They'll probably come for a point, which I'm sure they'll take. But yeah, it would be a good morale boost to win. You know, as I said, as good as it was to win on Sunday in the cup, the post-match reaction from the fans wasn't particularly pleasant in a way with the performance. So a win would be good because it's been a couple of games now after that Port Vale loss and the Mansfield draw to get that win and head into, I think it's Chesterfield the week after, bottom of the league, a team you'd fancy 3 points against. So yeah, it'd be great to get back to winning ways.
Mm. Can you see Tiz? I mean, we discussed Sockley, Reid, McAlinden, but can you see Tiz making any other changes in the other areas?
Possibly. I mean, I was almost a little surprised at how strong a team he played on Sunday, considering, the quality of the opposition. But, in a way, there was not many games. It was the last game since then. So I think that's the main issue, the attack. Obviously, he's shaken up the defence recently. He brought Kane Wilson in at Mansfield, and he did very well. Obviously, got sent off, however. But, I don't think anyone who played on Sunday did themselves any harm in terms of, they played that bad, they're going to get dropped. So, no, I wouldn't see too many changes for me, but the main issue would be the strikers.
Mm. David, I don't know if you know anything about fitness and anyone who's coming back and missing out, but again, any changes from Tiz that you can see?
Perhaps Lee Holmes coming back in. His has been, his absence has been more fatigue-based injury than anything too serious, so having sort of come off the bench in two games and impressed in both those games, with a week between games, I think he could perhaps be in line with a start. Who for though, I'm not too sure. Perhaps Craig Woodman, who is another player who's been suffering from sort of fatigue injuries, he could drop out with Moxie moving to left back, but other than that I can't see too many changes, to be honest. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Prediction?
I would say 1-0 City.
Jamie?
I was going to go for that, so I'll say 2-1 City.
There we go. Okay then. Just want to finish off with a quick question. Listener's question from at ECFCJJ. He asks, will we see more of Jack Sparks in the near future? David?
Possibly. I think it's perhaps too early for him to be starting too many games. He is still only 17, but he's impressed in the games he has played. Obviously at the end of the month we got a Chequered Trade Trophy game coming up against Chelsea. We could well see him starting that because he's featured in the other Chequered Trade trophy games, and he's been a regular on the bench, so I think we'll perhaps sit in continuing to come off the bench for now rather than sort of starting, because you look at City's wingers and even though City aren't playing the best at the moment, Jake Taylor and Lee Holmes and Dean Moxey and Carl Edwards probably all deserve to be ahead of him in the pecking order on merit.
Mm-hmm.
But Jack Sparks has done nothing to sort of harm his sort of potential or his reputation recently.
Mm, sure. I guess we know that Tiz isn't necessarily a manager who sort of buckle to popular opinion, is he, and sort of chuck a youngster in there just because he looks good. But Jamie, I mean, would you like to see more of Sparks?
Yeah, it's almost a strange one because he did so well at the start of the season. I remember when he came off at Swindon early on and he was brilliant the last 20 minutes or so. He showed so much confidence and he had an absolutely brilliant shot from about 35 years out which hit the post. So yeah, I think a lot of fans after that game were hoping to see him in more first team action, but like you said, it's Tisdale who makes the team, not the fans, and I think he's still he's only what, 16 still, so he's still growing, he's still learning, he's still going to get plenty of opportunities, and as Dave said, it's pretty harsh to drop someone like Holmes or Edwards, Moxie instead of him. But I think you just got to be patient with him. You've got some more Chequered Trade games coming up, so he'll get more time in that, I assume. So I think it's just perhaps being patient with him, which I'm sure Sparks and Tisdale are happy to be with.
Excellent stuff. Well, watch this space. Yeah, see you. See what happens. Brilliant. Right, well, that's everything from us this week. Join us next week again for another episode.